This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Offense Show. What's up? What's happening? Happy Monday. History Monday here on the Team 980. Alex Ovechkin has broken Wayne Gretzky's record. That is certainly not breaking news to you at this point. We are going to talk about it on the show today. This show's weird in terms of time of day sometimes. And I always feel weird when we do this, when we have a top story of the day, like what we have with Ovechkin, and then we don't actually start with it. So I wanted to say this off the top. This is not a reflection of anything other than the way we need to allot time on our show today. Because we want to talk obviously about the NCAA tournaments as well. What UConn did yesterday on the women's side and Paige Bueckers, and what's also next for her. And could that include DC? But also the men's tournament, that crazy Duke game on Saturday night, which is actually where we're going to open the show. But it is merely because we are on for 2 hours today and we only have so much time. So instead of being able to kind of circle back around to Ovi twice, we're going to do a big, huge Ovi chunk in the middle of the show, starting at 4:30. Kind of my thoughts on the record. We'll play you some of the sound. If you haven't heard Joe B's call or John Walton's call, both are exceptional. We got that for you. You'll hear a little bit from Ovechkin as well. So we are going to talk plenty about Alexander Ovechkin breaking this record today. But we will do that starting at 4:30. And we're also going to take your calls then at 301-230-0980. But because we have this limited time today, I want to make sure we get everything in. And this is just the best way to organize the show. It is not reflective of trying to lessen anything that Alexander Ovechkin has done, because what he has done is remarkable. And we'll get to it at 4:30. Also, as proof of how much we care, we called in one of the big guns. That's right. We got Steve Levy today. Leave's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. Of course, long, long time ESPN SportsCenter anchor, who is also the anchor of the NHL on ESPN's coverage, all the studio coverage. He's been covering the Stanley Cup final for them forever, and just absolutely loves the sport. And is going to be with us at 5 o'clock. So pretty pumped to have Levy on the show today, to get his perspective on Ovechkin. But we actually start off on, Saturday night, where, I thought I was cruising to a real good situation for me. I have this pool that I do every year, that I don't have to pay the entry fee for, because it's like a friend of my aunt's. And every year, she copies me and my cousins, her sons, in an email and says, "Hey, do you guys want to do this pool? I'll pay for your entry." And it's like a $10 whatever. And I'm always like, "Yeah, if it's free, I'll do it." And so all of a sudden on, and I knew I was doing pretty well, thanks to listening to the advice of Kevin Brown, on this very radio show, pick a lot of favorites this year. It's going to be a chalky tournament. And so I, knew I was doing pretty well, but I hadn't actually checked the pool. And we get an email on Friday with an update, and it's like, "Here's the people that are in front." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm in second place." And I read the body of the email, and it's basically like, if Duke wins the pool or wins the tournament, Craig wins the pool. And so I am in great shape. All I need is the best team in the tournament with the best player that's been in college basketball maybe in a decade to go out and do their thing. And sure enough, in the first half, they went out and did their thing. And for the first part of the second half, They're out there doing their thing. Double-digit lead, no problems. Just don't have the worst stretch to finish an NCAA tournament game in recent modern Final Four memory, and you're good. And then, Anthony Haney, what did they do?
They collapsed.
They just didn't score.
Yeah.
They just flat out stopped putting the ball in the bucket. And, Anthony, I'll be honest with you in the audience. You already know this. One, because you know me, and two, because we talked about it. I didn't watch this game live because it started at 9 o'clock. And especially, that's not entirely true. I watched the start of this game live. I did not watch the end of this game live. And I got up on Sunday morning and I saw an alert on my phone. So I knew how this game was going to end. But I had DVR'd it, taped it, however you want to phrase, whatever the digital, added it to my YouTube TV library. And so I'm sitting there watching this game back on Sunday morning. And Duke is just crawling closer to 67 points. And I know that the final score is 70-67, which is now somehow ingrained in my head. And I'm just kind of like, how? You're telling me that they're not going to score more than like 6 points for the rest of this game? I was like, maybe I saw the alert wrong. Maybe they won this game and they'll at least get to 70. And then like Proctor goes to the line and he misses the front end of that 1-1. And I'm like, oh no. This is actually how this is. I've lost the pool and they've lost the game. And it's just unfathomable to me that a team who has a guy that's that good, nevertheless, three dudes that are going to the top 10, and we can't get more than one bucket in the final 10 and a half minutes from the field. That is like at some point, just call an ISO for flag at the mid post or at the top of the key and run a 1-4 flat. Like literally everyone else, get the hell out the way and let Cooper Flag go to work. I guarantee you give Flag five possessions, he's scoring on at least two of them. And it's not like Cooper Flag was bad. That dude is nasty. And I am, my fingers, toes, and every other thing that I can cross in my body crossed that the Wizards win the lottery and get to take that kid. Because he will change the franchise, whichever franchise it is that he goes to. And if it's the Spurs, I'm going to be so mad. How do they get Wemby and Flag? No, not allowed. And he was awesome. Knipple was great for the first 30 minutes. And the fact that they couldn't manufacture a bucket down the stretch to close that thing out is, one, brutal. But two, I think just the nature of college basketball. Because for as great as Cooper Flag was on Saturday night, has been the entire season, the AP Player of the Year for a reason, he's 18 years old. He reclassified. He's supposed to be a high school senior right now. And because these kids are so young, and by the way, they actually were going against a Houston team that isn't so young. That's 23. But even then, like in the grand scheme of life, 23 is young. But for college kids, that's mad old. Like you see the composure. You see some of that stuff come to light. And ultimately, Duke can't close that game. And I think mine and many other people's chances around the country that thought they were in great shape to win the bracket pools down the drain.
Yeah, Craig, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I wasn't even thinking about the pools I was in. I was more so thinking about what we're getting deprived of. I think everybody in their right mind wanted to see Duke versus Florida. Like, we saw Florida win game one. So everybody just thinking, like, all right, Duke, they're going to win. They're up 14. They're in the driver's seat. And still, even when Houston's coming back, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, Houston's going to make it close. Like, this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, when's the next? Like, it's a game of run. Houston made their runs. They got it within six. Yeah. Okay, now let's go close it out. And, you know, something that I remember watching a lot of Duke basketball. Like, I grew up in ACC country, and I watched a lot of Duke basketball growing up. And obviously, they've been great for my entire life, your entire life. So, you know, in a lot of big games. And I always feel like, you know, Krzyzewski's probably the best coach ever. But one thing that his teams would do sometimes that would drive you crazy is like they try to take the air out of the ball too fast. And instead of just playing, it's like, nah, man, keep your foot on the gas. And I did. That's the one thing. Like some of it is just they missed shots. Houston did a good job. It's not like they were turning the ball over a ton. They had a couple critical ones, but like they had that turnover late and it's like their sixth turnover the entire game. Like that's not a lot of turnovers, especially against a team that pressures you the way that Houston does. But they had some of these long possessions that then just kind of meh at the end. And it's like, nah, you played a certain way with a certain urgency. And I think when you take the foot. It takes a very special type of player and team to be able to take your foot off the gas, but then accelerate at the right time. It's what separates the LeBrons, frankly, and guys like that at the highest, highest level to be like, I can slow this game down, take the air out of the ball, and then it's going to be me versus you, and I'm just going to win. And while they should have been able to do that with Flag and on some respect, how slow they played late in that game, I think it just creates a sense of urgency in the other team, and then you lose your urgency, and that combo comes together in a way that can cost you a game that you should have won and would have if you maybe, you know, didn't introduce that kind of tempo, that kind of attitude into the game.
Yeah, and I think just to your point, like, Duke plays better when they're getting out into transition and things of that nature. And the fact that they wanted to, you know, slow the ball down, try to execute. Houston's good defensively. Like, that's their bread and butter. Like,
yeah.
So I think Duke sort of kind of played into Houston's hand a little bit, slowing the game down. And I think that's why Houston was able to, you know, ultimately come back. But also to the Cooper Flag point, and this isn't, you know, to, you know, take away from the season that Cooper Flag had. But I will say, Craig, if you look at all of Duke's losses and, you know, the fact that Shire, you know, put the ball in Cooper's hands at the end of games, he sort of kind of did come up short, like, in each of those moments. Like, you talk about the Clemson, he slipped and he fell. Turned the ball over against Kentucky, dribbling it out of bounds. So, like, I think I don't necessarily know if I like, you know, Shire's decision on that. I do. He's the best player. Get him the ball.
He's the best player in America. Yeah, you just didn't figure it out. But yeah, it is a good reminder that he's 18 years old and that he's not immune to pressure. But also, like, I know that in the USA Select scrimmage last year, he, like, hit some game winners and things like that. True. You know, against the Olympic team that wound up winning gold. So, like, I have no doubts about Cooper Flagg's clutchability in the long term. But clearly they needed a couple of buckets, and they couldn't get them on Sunday, or on Saturday night. And ultimately that's why they're not playing tonight. Florida and Houston are the games here on the Team 980. Coverage from Westwood One starts at 6 o'clock tonight, right after us. We're done an hour early to give way to that. Of course, there was a Title One yesterday, and that is where we go next before we talk about Alex Ovechkin's history coming up at 4:30. UConn and Paige Beckers get it done. We'll talk about it next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Men's champion at NCAA Hoops gets crowned tonight. The ladies crowned yesterday, and Paige Beckers finally has her crown. What a final call, by the way, by Ryan Rucco on ESPN. The final page in the book of Beckers. That's a good one, Anthony.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Nice, you know, play on words, her name. He did what needed to be done.
I was like, ooh, that was, because sometimes those the scripted ones get real cheesy, but that was really, really good.
I liked it.
12th national championship for UConn, and it's got to be one of the most dominating performances in the history of, like, championship finals. I mean, there have been some dominating performances in game sevens over the years in various sports where, like, oh, it goes to seven, you know, it's all here. And then just like, dang, that wasn't what we wanted. That was not a competitive game. But I think for UConn to do it like this, when it's against a team in South Carolina who's one, the defending champions, two, they beat the brakes off of in February. UConn beat the crap out of this team once already. So, you know, South Carolina had to come in and be like, all right, we're going to be ready this time. Like, they're not doing that again. This is a prideful group. It's super talented. They're mostly healthy. They're missing Ashlyn Watkins, one of their star players. But this is a group that's super duper talented. Ton of McDonald's All-Americans. Don Staley's as good as it gets as a coach. And UConn's just like, guess what? We're doing it again. We are just going to give you a wedgie all over again. And it just, in that third quarter, just keeps getting away and away. And to see Sarah Strong play like she is as a freshman, going to go down as one of the all-time greats. She's already got one under her belt. And I think, obviously, you know, local ties, Anthony, hit the local button. AZ Fudd, I was kind of chuckling during this game because AZ met with Gino Auriemma. And for those that don't know, AZ Fudd, is from Arlington, Virginia. So she's DC local, DMV local, here in the area. And AZ met with Gino Auriemma about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, near the start of the NCAA tournament, and had a conversation about her future. And they came out of that conversation deciding that AZ should go back to school. Because if she left, one of the big things that they agreed upon was she would not have done everything that she would have set out to do in a UConn uniform. And I was laughing during this final because as she was dominant defensively, getting steals, active hands, the whole thing, great on-ball defense. And then on the other side of it, just one of the purest jump shots you'll ever see. Her release, and when we teach kids, Ant, like, you want to catch and shoot, no wasted motion, catch, and like, there's no load. It's just from here to there. Like, it's
always in
so
the pocket.
Nice.
Yep.
And doing that, creating off the dribble. She had that one crossover that I literally like got off the couch.
In and
out
cross. Yep. In and out cross.
Yeah. I mean, just the full game. What else does she, what, Gino, what now? AZ should reverse course. AZ, you did it all. Just come to the draft. Please be there for Washington to pick at 3, 4, or 6. Come on home, AZ. Please. Cause that was just an unbelievable performance through and through. And, I mean, hats off. And last thing I'll say, Ant, too, is like, not just good for Paige, great for Paige. Paige Beckers is one of the all-time greats in this sport. And especially at that school, to not have a title makes it really hard to include you in that conversation. And she deserves to be based on everything she's done. And she closed it off with this title, 30 points in 3 straight great games leading into the final. They didn't need her fourth quarter blitz. She still has 17 points in the final. Just an unbelievable player who caps it off in the best way possible. So congrats to UConn on truly one of the greatest championship performances by a team that we'll see in any sport as long as we live.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Paige again. Like, all season long, she was saying it's championship or bust. Like, that's, you know, her mentality, just because she's gotten so close. Last year she was in the Final Four. I think her freshman year they end up losing in the title game.
Yeah, she lost it in 22. 21 was the bubble year. And that was her freshman year, her first run at it. I think they made the Final Four. Lost in the Final Four. 22, yeah. They lost to South Carolina in the championship game. 23 mm-hmm. is the ACL year. Last year, she and Aaliyah Edwards lose to Caitlin Clark in the Final Four, and then this year she pulls it off.
Yeah, so just, you know, huge of her to, you know, want to get to the mountaintop. Like, when you go to UConn, that's what everybody, you know, wants to do. And for her to, you know, be able to go out on top is definitely huge for her and her career. And I think it's scary, though, because Sarah Strong is just a freshman. And I'm not going to say, you know, there were moments. Like, Paige was obviously the best, like, throughout the tournament. But you had games where AZ was going off, and then you had games where Sarah Strong was going off. So the fact that she's leaving that behind, I don't know, people should be a little scared of, you know, what Gino has, you know, cooked up. And it's good just to see UConn back on top, you know, after 9 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, thank God, Gino really needed one. But no, it is. I mean, it definitely is cool to see what Gino sticking around paying off, you know, for him. He's someone who I think is a force for good in the sport. I'm a big Gino Auriemma fan. Everything I've ever heard about the guy is positive. And I think he's been great for the sport. He spent a lot of Final Four weekend advocating for the sport and being like, you know, he could just be like, oh, I'm just going to be quiet and focus on my team. And he's like, no. Like, some of the stuff that we're dealing with is ridiculous. These double location regionals, and, you know, all the TV is in the middle of the afternoon. I'm sure the number's about to come out, and I'm sure it's going to be huge, but like, it should have been last night. It should have been in primetime mm-hmm. on a Sunday night. We all know that's the number one TV spot because that's when the Super Bowl is and the Oscars and the Grammys. Like, the biggest shows on television are in that Sunday prime spot. And if you're going to screw up the schedule and all of a sudden make the women go Friday, Sunday when they've been playing behind, you know, the day behind the men the whole time, then why change it now? Like, that's just, or why now all of a sudden is it not in prime time? If you want the prime Sunday spot for something else, then do it. But point is, like, I'm very happy for that program. And the moment that Gino and Paige share as she's coming off the court, it got me. I cracked a little bit. I definitely may shed a tear, Anthony. me and my old age over here at the ripe old age of 35, getting all emotional. But it was clear how much it meant to them. And Paige afterwards, so funny. You know, hey, what did Gino tell you? He said he loved me, and I said I hated him. and that's what that relationship is. And, you know, I think in part because Paige stayed so long, and like also the life that Paige has led, like she's only 23 years old. She's a young woman, and she should get to live that quasi childhood and not be expected to be a full fledged adult because she's not yet. But also realistically, she's an incredibly mature young woman who is, I think, wise beyond her years on and off the floor. And because she was there so long and, like, you know, was famous in a way that none of his players had ever been with the NIL and all of this stuff, I think that created a very, very special relationship between those two. And to see it play out and end in a championship is pretty freaking cool. We'll talk more about Becker's future coming up at 5:15. Could she wind up in D.C.? Look, she's going to be the number one pick in the draft. Right now that is held by Dallas, but do not rule it out. I'll tell you more why at 5:15. Coming up next, though, we have delayed long enough. We've said the things we need to say about the hoops. It's ice time. Alex Ovechkin, he's the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer, and we're talking about it next on the Team 980.
Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Score! The chasing days are done. Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL.
That's Joe Beninati on Monumental Sports Network with an exceptional call of history. Alex Ovechkin's 895th goal. The chasing days are done. Ovi now the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL. And it's almost, I don't even know what the word, it's eerie, freaky, weird, bizarre, Anthony, that they wound up doing this in like the exact same number of games. You know, sometimes we see these all-time records get broken because guys just have preposterous longevity. And we know that the guy breaking the record actually isn't as great as the thing. Not that longevity isn't something that we shouldn't want in our athletes and in sports, but that it's purely a counting deal. It's like, oh, that guy, that's an accumulation record. No. If Alex Ovechkin's is an accumulation record, then so was Wayne Gretzky's. The greatness over time, the longevity of quality is the thing that is most remarkable about this. And now we see Ovechkin as sitting atop a list. And Wayne Gretzky, anytime you're touching one of his records, is you're talking about the highest level of sports history, not hockey history, sports history. I've always kind of put Gretzky and Jerry Rice in a different class, Anthony, because Jerry, if you're touching one of Jerry Rice's receiving records, you are so far beyond the guy next to you, the guy that you passed 3 years ago, because that's how long Jerry Rice played at a high level. And Wayne Gretzky's that in hockey. He still holds the all-time scoring record as in points. And he has more assists or more points on just assists, nevertheless more assists, than anyone else if you tally their goals and assists together. Like, that is how great he was and how long he did it. And so if you are touching one of those records, you are doing something so extraordinarily special. And Ovechkin has done it with one team through mostly winning. It's not like he's accumulated a bunch of goals in bad seasons. Of course, you know, I think the playoff struggles are documented up until 2018. And certainly you wish a couple of times since then they could have made some deeper runs. But as a regular season hockey player, there just aren't that many better. And I think the other thing that really stands out to me, Anthony, and this is where I want to open up the phones at 301-230-0980, is that done it, you know, all in one sweater part. Is that done it in D.C. part. We've never in D.C. had an athlete like Alexander Ovechkin. Ever. And most cities have not, to be fair, to D.C. There aren't a lot of cities that can say the definitive or a definitive top 10 player in the sport played here. Boston is the rare exception. They've got multiple, right? They've got Bill Russell and Larry Bird as Celtics. They've also got, some guys on the Bruins that are kind of on that list. Ted Williams is a Red Sox. Like, those are top 10 all-time type of guys. So Boston, rare exception. But to have a guy for their entire career the way that we've had Ovi in D.C. is just exceptionally rare. One, guys don't do that anymore, and two, and haven't for a long time, especially in this sport. Gretzky wore, you know, what, 3-4 different jerseys by the time it's all said and done. And you have a guy in Ovechkin that's been here the entire time, undoubtedly the same. You know, we'll see, like, you know, she's only 22 years old, but like Trinity Robbins on pace to be one of the greatest soccer players we've seen if her back doesn't cause problems. But she's already talked about the fact that she wants to go to Europe at some point and play. You know, we had Michael Jordan, but the Wizards era Michael Jordan is literally like a joke, even though he was still remarkably good when he was here. And it's just, how lucky are we? And that's the thing I think I come back to on a purely sporting side. And I know, you know, to score this moment, or this goal in this moment of geopolitics in the world and everything is a more complicated conversation, part of which we had with Steve Wino last week, that if folks want to, you know, if that's interesting to you, then definitely check out what Wino had to say about it, because it was really good in terms of the context of how like the league is celebrating this and how people within it and how it's being received in hockey circles. But I think purely as a sporting achievement in this moment right now, my reaction to this was like, man, it's pretty freaking cool that we got this guy here, because most fan bases will never get to experience this.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool thing. But also the fact that, you know, we get to witness this, like the fact that I'm alive to see, you know, LeBron break a record. And now Ovi's out here, you know, breaking records.
But even think about LeBron, right? Like, who does LeBron – and again, these are grown-ass humans. They don't belong to anyone, right? So, like, don't take this – no one take this literally. But in terms of, like, the sports character, who does LeBron belong to? Like, I would say mostly Northeast Ohio and Cavs fans. But, like, Northeast Ohio is a region. But that one's different because he's from there, like, truly from there, of there. But like his best years were spent in Miami. His golden years are being spent with the Lakers. He spent more time with the Lakers than either the Heat or the Cavs, I believe, at this point. Maybe Cleveland still got it barely, but he's way more years with the Lakers than he is at the Heat, but the Heat got his absolute peak of his powers. So like, who does LeBron quote unquote belong to, right? I don't know. Who does Alex Ovechkin belong to in terms of the sports character, the sports personality? The District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. And that I think is so exceptionally rare and cool and should be appreciated. And I think is appreciated, frankly, by Caps fans and even D.C. sports fans, for whom the Caps are their third, fourth, fifth team on their favorites list.
Yeah. So on top of that, I just think it's crazy, though, that we get to witness players, athletes break records that no one thought was, you know, attainable in a sense. And I remember being a little kid, having, you know, the Capitals draft Alex Ovechkin, and being like, who's this great A guy? And then for him to, you know, have his career and like continually, you know, break record and, you know, bring a championship to the city and just spend his entire livelihood here. I think it's incredible because, again, I was a little 8-year-old boy when, like, he first got drafted. And now, you know, he's out here doing big things, breaking records, and, you know, has the Capitals, you know, first in the Eastern Conference. Like, I think if you asked a Rooster, if you asked, you know, anybody on the G&D show, they would have said the Capitals are exceeding, you know, expectations. And the fact that, you know, he's doing this on a winning team while leading this team – while he's 40 years old, I think it's even more remarkable. And the fact, Craig, this guy broke his fibula in November. He missed 16 games and still came back even better. Like, it is crazy. So, huge testament to, you know, who Alex Ovechkin is. Again, like, 20 years of doing this. It just takes nonstop dedication. And I'm proud of the, you know, the work that he's put in the last, you know, 20 years and what he's brought to the city of D.C.
I mean, I think the other thing that like is remarkable about this is the level he's playing at right now. I mean, literally the last month is like as good as he's ever been,
man.
And I'm by no means a hockey expert. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, we talked about this off the very top of the show. I I've had people ask me in the last couple of days, especially as this has been the story, right? Why don't you talk about the Caps more? Why don't you talk about Ovechkin more? And it happens with some frequency anytime the Caps like really bubble up in the news. And what I tell those folks, and typically they go, oh, you want to know what? That's fair, is hockey just isn't my thing. And that's fine. I'm not here to say that my things are better than your things. I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum. Hockey's a great sport. I thoroughly enjoy going to games when I go. I've been watching a little bit more as of late, knowing that this playoff run is coming and it's going to be a bigger part of our show for a couple of months, hopefully, as they go on another Stanley Cup run. And so I've been watching a little bit more and this is good. I just, typically I've been a basketball guy. Obviously, I spend a ton of time doing the NFL stuff. I have some other things that are interesting to me, soccer world, et cetera. And especially as women's basketball has blown up and like that's something that I've always followed and it's become easier to follow. That's taken a lot of my time over very similar seasons. And so if you care a lot about Ovechkin and about the Capitals, you probably know more than me. And listening to my perspective on something like this, or on a game to game basis, especially, like, what am I going to teach you? So it's not that I'm ignoring or disrespecting your sport, and your favorite sport, but that's when I think it's fun to just notice and appreciate how much this has captured the attention of even people like us who are sports fans who love greatness of, or athletic greatness, and can so easily appreciate what it is by reading the perspectives and listening to the perspectives of all those people who do follow this on a more regular basis. But I think when you break a Gretzky record specifically, no one needed to explain to me how special this was. It is just so self-explanatory of how great this is. That doesn't mean there aren't great stories to be told. That doesn't mean that there isn't more context that makes it all the more miraculous. But to get back to the point that I was making before I veered off of this, I was kind of gearing up for this, as I said, watching a little bit more, reading a little bit more, making sure that I was locked in on some things, that I was ready for the show and to talk about this stuff. I didn't get very far on the ramp because the way he's played the last 2 weeks as this record has been like, oh, is he going to break it before the end of the season? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. Like, how fast? Oh, it's done. He's scored at such a crazy rate that the NHL's probably pissed. Like, this could have been a couple weeks long thing. Hey, can we get past the NCAA tournaments and we could be the biggest story in sports for a week as Ovechkin chases it? Nope. Hey, he needs a hat trick to get it Friday night. Oh, he scored two and darn near got a third late in that game. And instead, he goes and breaks. Oh, can they make it home games this week? We had talked about if he doesn't break it over the weekend, are we going to do our show live at Capital One Arena this week? Don't need to anymore. It's done. If the Caps want to have us, we'll come out and say hi. But like, we're not going to be there because Ovi's about to break the record because he already did it. Just the level that he's at right now on this team playing this well, it's crazy special. 301-230-0980. What's it mean to you, Caps fans? Your chance to chime in before Steve Levy joins us at 5 o'clock to discuss next here on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. ESPN Steve Levy joins us in 10 minutes to talk about this.
Carlson will make his way to the neutral ice, dropping it for Dylan Strome. He and Chychrun will team up and glide through center. Right side to Wilson. Centered up. Ovechkin has it. He scores! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores 895! There's a new goal-scoring champion, and his name is Alexander Ovechkin! He has done it here on Long Island. His teammates mob him. There is but one. Alexander the greatest to ever do it in National Hockey League history.
What a call by John Walton.
Oh my gosh.
That was, I think we got an echo situation. I think I know how to fix. I think if you turn the computer off, or if I do that, there we go. Now we should be good. But what a call by John Walton. Just a exceptional job on the radio here on the Team 980, as heard here on the Team 980. The moment is so cool, too, because, you know, he scores it, bangs it home, and then the dive on the ice, the teammates just exploding out. You can see how much it means to everyone. It's just a heck of a moment. So what it mean to you out there? 301-230-0980. AP's in Greenbelt. AP, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's going on, Hoffman? How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, as far as what it means to me, I mean, again, as I told Rooster earlier, it's, you know, we got a Hall of Famer, man. We got Alexander Ovechkin, who's forever, you know, going to be immortal in the hockey sport of, you know, the NHL, man. He's in D.C., and that's something to be proud of, especially, you know, if you're my age, you know, slightly past, you know, the millennial era. But this is something to be proud of. I mean, a few, if not any, can do this. Like, he's past the great one. The great eight has passed the great one. And I don't think anybody can do what he did. I mean, at 40, like, I'm 37. I can barely get out the bed at times. I'm still in the Army. I can barely run a 2-mile run, you know, and this guy's Russian machine never breaks. This dude is just unreal. Like, breaking his leg or his fibula, fibula and returning to do what he set out to do. But I really feel for Ovi, what's most important for him is to win another Stanley Cup, because this is the ultimate team sport. And yes, he has his individual accolade, but I really truly feel he wants another Stanley Cup trophy. That's all I got, fellas. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, AP, and good luck getting out of bed tomorrow. I know that feeling all too well. Did a lot of squats today, Anthony. I'm a little concerned about tomorrow morning, but that's something I can figure out tomorrow morning. One thing that AP brings up there tangentially that I want to unpack a little bit more is, you know, the kind of Russian machine never, like, he's such a distinctive personality. And I think that's another thing that resonates. Like, Sidney Crosby is probably going to go down considered the better player because he's got 3 Stanley Cup finals, and, you know, all of them went through Ovi, and it's really hard to make. It's like, you know, I can try to argue that player for player, Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than Tom Brady. But eventually, like, it's, and if they match up head to head once or twice in the playoffs, and, you know, Brady gets them both times, and it's like, you know, it's a team sport, man. I watch the games, and I what Manning does is more impressive. If it happens like 6 times, eventually you got to be like, all right, fine, the other guy's better. And I think one of the things that I love about Ovechkin as an athlete, as someone who wears the DC sweater, wears the DC colors, all that kind of stuff, is he is such a distinct personality. The physicality he plays with, he's just bigger than other dudes. Like, there's just so much there with him as a distinct character that is not always the case, and certainly is not the case with Crosby. Like, Crosby is as cookie cutter as they come. That's not to diminish his greatness. But, like, if you think of the identifying characteristic of Sidney Crosby, it's less easy to define. I think Pittsburgh fans would probably argue, well, he's a winner, and, like, that's hard to argue considering his track record. But also, late down the stretch here of his career, the Penguins are now in a bad spot, and we'll see if he even finishes his career in Pittsburgh. I think for Ovechkin, it's much easier to have those memories of those distinct moments and the personality and, you know, the fountains and the this and the that. You know, the goal back when he was young, the twisting, turning over his head deal. Like, you remember those because of the distinctive personality that he was. And in some ways, like, you know, I think LeBron suffers from this a little bit as well. LeBron has had enough signature moments at this point, and kind of, he's such a unique athlete that a moment like the block against Golden State stands out because it's just so clearly a play that only he could make because of the athlete that he is. But because he is like this machine, and has always kind of said the right things and all that kind of stuff, I think there's probably less of that with him versus a guy like Jordan, who seems to have a little bit more flamboyance to him. So I just think that's an interesting element of the, uh, Although the Ovechkin love, the Ovechkin character, the Ovechkin story is how distinct he is. And it's something that, you know, we've talked about recently of our sports becoming homogenous. And, you know, Clinton had that amazing line a couple, like, what was it, like 2 months ago, Anthony? We're talking about the state of basketball, and it's a bunch of 6'7" kids with broccoli haircuts named Jalen.
Yeah.
And, like, we're just trying to find some unique characters. And you have a guy like Jokic who's so unique or whatever. Anthony Edwards, you know, super unique. And I think Ovechkin is that and has been that over the course of his career. All right, when we get back, we'll talk about it with a guy who's watched the entire thing with the front row seat to some very big parts of it. Steve Levy, ESPN's anchor of their hockey coverage, and, of course, the SportsCenter great, joins us next here on the Team 980.